And he sent a book. He said, just a major public discussion of festival print. I want to get a joint.
Hello.
I have an
order
down by the good.
they are mad with scientists, yes, that we are fault with scientists. They cannot say that we are fault with scientists. The people that I know right there are very strong. I have something else in my mind I want to tell you about, and I want to get ready right now.
You know, I'm reading my paper before I can hear it. It's the first time I'm in opposite presence.
Well, I am too.
Yeah, so that's here. Open covenant, open they arrive at, is almost the only way anybody and it can consider your own business.
Well, we need to, but I do specifically that Greece is the only one we can really trust.
Clearly, from the Peter standpoint, that Greece is dependent upon us. There's no way to ensure access to the Middle East.
And then you know too, but I won't forgive me, we can get into Black Africa, and there may be the friendship between Greece and Black Africa is something that I you can't imagine.
And also,
the Arab world.
Also, with Libya.
Yes, in the Arab world, in fact, my sister, the man I'm with in Costa Rica, he's friendly with those ladies.
Lots of the fellow that I met when I was over there, I think, at Seattle, you know.
He's a short, blondish type, I said blondish type.
An older man?
Yes, sir, he's short.
Yeah, I think enough of the cops to head into the embassy.
All right, okay, I was in, excuse me, I was in Geneva, Switzerland the other day. Lazarus was there, and he asked Fortuna to come there for him to make a decision on the matter, so we flew to Geneva. He walked in about 20 minutes after we were there, and back to Tampa. And it was just on both seats, very warm. And then he didn't tell him, we got to know his time of place, because I agree with him. He said that basically the certificate is to blame for Turkey. And then he was going to keep with Turkey. So I tell everybody, whereas they were 223 for the Greeks in 206 against them. So then with Turkey, so the Greeks won. But I told them I didn't accept them. It could come out of the other way around. That's what's going on now. This month actually is enough for Kissinger to work to swing the 226 to reverse exactly the power there. And that's the way I see it. Now I thought about seeing Tip O'Neill and also John Bannerman, but I just don't know. I don't want to talk with states. I hesitate to talk with politics, for politicians, so to speak. That's right. They told us that if you talk to unless they threaten you, but they really do believe in it. They really do believe in it. They're threatening you around now. So, this is why I say I got to talk to somebody in the military. I'm very close to Admiral Russell. Of course, he's here and there everywhere, and I have seen him quite a while. He had quite a problem. I just didn't bother doing it. And I knew I was coming here for other countries. I had many issues with Admiral Grimwald who were listening to him, and I was telling what they've got to say now.
But, you know, the only thing, I guess, there are only two statements that I can say was part of the defense. One is that any other kind of man seems to know that you have to recognize the critical significance of Greece and any strategic persuasion. And second, to point out the obvious, and that is that there is a tremendous amount of popular support within this country, as reflected in Congress, in favor of Greece. And there is, at this time, so far as one can see within the administration, a bias in favor of Turkey. I think all of us would hope that it's possible for Turkey and Greece to get together and work this crisis problem out so we can get the relations with both of them back on even
footing. The thing is with this new change and with the people in power, seeing that the United States and Greece fell in love again, and we start doing things together, you know, this is going to say, look, come to me, and then we say, we can't do this, you do this or that, that's how I say the fight between yourselves.
You know, if there were a change in Greece in the government, that were perceived by the liberals in this country as something that was anti-democratic, that came about in an undemocratic way and wasn't any kind of a power structure, then you have within the Congress a tilt away from Greece, just as there was during the period of the Greek Colonel. The support for Greece, as I read it at the present time in the Congress, is a very delicately balanced thing, as opposed to Turkey, which certainly is not, by necessity, imagination, a democratic-led nation. It's got a, as you all know, hierarchy of military to watch and dump every time they don't like what's going on. So between those two, with all of the strong deep tides and possible impossible to maintain a balance in the conduct of the Greek. My hunch would be that it would begin to shift back to the kind of talent we had to deal with in Congress before, if the change came about in a way that was perceived as unmilitarist. You know, if Columbus on his own free will decided to believe that a new man took over, that, I suppose, would be perceived as democratic.
But the people would be surprised. I don't know if people want the king to come back.
Yeah.
I don't think the state has really cared about that. But they're making a mistake on the state. Greece is not ready for a presidential democracy. It's got to be a crown democracy. And I am of the opinion that once the king comes in and takes over, let's say, really after a few years, he himself will see that Greece is on a good road. He himself will step down. He might become then the prince. But the king today is he's very sharp. He's a good boy. He's learned every lesson. He knows he's a trust anymore. Carmelite, now forgive me, Carmelite told the king, he said, don't worry, your majesty, but once I go there, I will bring you there. So they went and sat constantly. And then he had his referendum. Do you want the king or don't you? Well, that's the way to do it. Who sworn Carmelite to meet this with? The Hunter-Lussay president. And Carmelite was going back to the 1962 Constitution with the pages that Papadopoulos changed. Instead of royalty, now we've got a president here. This would have made the Greek to have. Those that have power, those that want to change, and the change is going to come. So it was why you come back to the 1962 democracy and you keep the sheet that Papadopoulos, the one that he tore out, I mean, and he put the new sheets in about a president. So this is where the really key to all. And I know that don't misunderstand me, Admiral, about the king. I was with him in late November before the referendum. And when we said goodbye, he said, I hope to see you. And I said, yes, sir. Because when Renna and I were married, his father was my best man.
Yeah.
So we are very, very close. We're extremely close. And I don't walk in like a stranger. I mean, when I walk in, he'd squeeze hands. We'd sit down when I was there in November. We were together four or five times. Had lunch together, had a drink together, walk around with, very relaxed, eating a sandwich, chatting around with the group. And he was saying how nice it is to be among people that I know and just not what he really does. He knows me now.
Back over.
This is what I'm afraid of.
Been in contact. But the normal procedure when any American citizen contacts the intelligence services is to use his information to treat it and for the benefit of the U.S. government. Now, no one can guarantee you that that means that it's going to help the people you're in touch with. It may end up...
At least I'm getting a true picture.
It may end up both in the parameter's hand because, you know, he may be told without any identification of who the source is. Look, there's an indication that politically you're not at all much of a driver to. We're getting indications that you've got problems. So that, you know, the U.S. government policy may be to warn him. That's what I say. I know the system. And I just don't know what. I don't know the system. To the extent he's influenceable at all, the influence only by his associates in the State Department or the White House. I think I've given you everything that's useful. Your problem is the problem of kind of having to evaluate between what you would do from the standpoint of a U.S. citizen interested in getting information into his government channel.
At what they say, though, I'm leaving in about a week. What I'm thinking is going to happen, though. So, I mean, my thinking is to go back and tell them I informed those things. In other words, you want to change, and you say you're going to get a vaccination. I mean, you send me back in the NATO, fine, but imagine you send me back. I mean, you've got to make this obvious to us before we can say we're with you.
Before you say that, though, you ought to have it from someone in the government or in the Congress who can have satisfied himself.
Well, I'll talk to John Bowers. I'll talk to Tip O'Neill. He's being forced right now.
Yeah.
No. His son is the lieutenant general.
They would in turn they got the prestige and the leverage to talk in the right way to state about, you know, what's good from the standpoint of the country and find out. Then you'd be in a position to have some assurance. I, as one who's both out of power and in opposition in our system, am not really in a position to do more than describe the factors.
I just don't want to make the wrong move. I mean, I just want to talk to the individuals who can make the decision for themselves. I mean, they've got it.
I would. One way to do it is to talk to Bobby and get it into the intelligence system. Another way to do it is to talk to these two congressmen in whom you have confidence and have them put it into the system.
Okay. Feel free.
Will you give my regards to the ladies and to Costa?
I certainly shall. I'll be seeing them by 10 days. I'm going to call Costa and talk to him about it. He'll be home. I saw you say hello, Costa. I know nothing about the case.
Right.
Yeah. I would, as I say, I like what I'm doing. I don't want to get in trouble. I say, the Decatur's son and I got.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do what I think will continue to build a better relationship with Greece.
Right.
What I am saying, again, these people I have known for 25 years, and they are strong and all good, and they are active. And they themselves say the only one that can save us today, put us on the right road to the team for us. And apparently, she's got to keep him back in to help bring that into my life. What he wants to become president of the real level, make it, they don't stop. And this is what could actually cause him to leave, or he'll bring in the king himself. I think this is the way you should do it. Let him bring the king back.
Yeah, if he, as the
recognized political head.
He was all. He is not as strong as he was yesterday, though.
Yeah.
He is not as strong as he was yesterday. Nice to see you, sir. Bye-bye.
$2 import fee, a $0.37 for TCF tax on natural gas, all of which came to the tune of $30 billion. Largely overlooked in all the early debate and some of the fact that all $30 billion from the president's program have been rebated to consumerist corporations and state and local governments to cover the higher cost. The basic concept there was to change the price of energy relative to everything else to try to keep the consumer and the corporation basically holding the spending power as we pull off that change in all the prices. As a way of achieving conservation and reducing demand. The initial reaction, I think, was largely towards major opposition to that approach, but what we heard primarily as an alternative was either allocation or rationing the physical, the opposite kind of program for price control, so you just actually put physical prohibitions on how much fuel people can use, and the government is the arbiter of who gets how much over what kind of time frame. That kind of approach to the problem dissipated, I think, within 3 or 4 weeks. People were talking about that to the degree that they had been. And that didn't mean that they were warming up to the president's overall price approach, but they began to get a pretty good education on what the volumetric kind of control, the physical restrictions would mean. And again, I didn't realize that is a very, that's not a cost-free way of doing it either. You may not be paying higher prices of the pump necessarily, but you have huge cost economics of the show up on those areas. Otherwise, our fairly most costs are likely to be larger than the price increases in part of the president's program. At any rate, we got over that initial hurdle on the conservation program and began to get, I think, a very serious hearing on the president's price approach to this, both in the Ways and Means Committee in the House and the Dean Committee. All of which, by recess, as you well know, pretty well come to naught. The recess and then passed with the Congress on this basic price issues. The House is unwilling to accept the tax revision of the loan bill, the pricing mechanism applied here, and they were unwilling to accept the President's third compromise on energy control. And we're now in a position where the only way the President can conceivably have any chance of the price approach being the basic driving mechanism for short-term conservation is in fact to use veto of the proposed program and to make that veto stick. And we'll be making an announcement from Dale tomorrow on that subject. We have had some discussion on other types of conservation measures, some of which have had a near-term impact, but also were really aimed at the longer-term impact, that were neither price nor volumetric in the direct sense, like regulatory type approaches. The President's conservation, the conservation piece of the President's program, we did propose some conservation standards, particularly in the housing and commercial building area. It was our feeling that the way the market operated there, the impact of prices would not work to the end necessarily having more fuel efficient houses or buildings, just given the nature of the market structure and how houses are built to be paid part of the way. So we did propose to establish a standards program for housing and for new commercial office buildings. The retrofit involves here of existing structures, which will go prospective different new structures in the future. We've had no action on that proposal in the House of Debate. The Senate, just before recess, the Senate committee considering it rejected. So, even though we thought that a lot of some of these standard kind of approaches might have a better chance of flying, with this particular Congress, our first to accept is that the standards for some more efficiency. Failed, ironically, we think most of the interest groups involved here were behind us. The mortgage bankers were not opposed to this approach. They were Congress is likely to convert the voluntary kind of program to a mandatory program. And we're still in the administration assessing how we feel about that particular approach. It certainly does have some merit. There is a continuing interest in the sort of regulatory standards type energy efficiency approach in the Congress. I think we'll continue to see some efforts and debate and discussion on that, regardless of what happens with the price spikes coming up in September. Looking at the other side of the energy equation, or the midterm kind of the side of the equation, between now and 1985, as it always looks, conservation is important between now and 85, particularly important between now and 1977 if we want to improve our import vulnerability situation. That's the basic supply side of the energy problem. The President's program had a number of items dealing with the supply, increasing the supply. One of those, of course, was to decontrol the oil. For example, we'll create an additional 1.5 million barrels of oil by 1985. New oil resources, domestic resources, that we would not be able to control the continuum. So not only would we control the demand reduction ladder, but it's a terribly important supply creation mechanism. We did have a number of proposals relating to the development, commercial development of the Naval Petroleum Reserve. We have proposals relating to modifications to the Clean Air Act, which we feel would enable the country to utilize significantly more coal than to be utilized in the absence of those changes. Major coal use to be able to have those changes in the Clean Air Act. We had proposals relating to nuclear power and nuclear facility licensing. We also had a proposal relating to nuclear energy facility licensing, similar to nuclear, but we broke out the nuclear side for special reasons. We also had a series of proposals relating to standby authority, strategic reserve program, and so forth. We did not propose any basic changes in some of the existing supply programs, the government fuel CS leasing program, the coal leasing program, and so forth. I think it's safe to say that today we've had no more success getting Congress to act on the President's supply program than we have on the short-term demand program, nor have we had any more success in looking like the President's program giving us something of an alternative, which would generate roughly the same amount of energy as the specific measure of the president's objective. The Naval Petroleum Reserves seem to be agreement on the House side very quickly. The Petroleum Reserves is indeed valid. In our current energy situation, that the use of those reserves could make a much more important contribution to national security. We're using them now, and they would, by pulling them in the ground, to be some type of future war. The House clearly agreed to that concept early, but the Interior Committee and the House Armed Services Committee got into a contest and jurisdiction. And even though both committees passed bills very quickly in the session provided for the production of oil from the Naval Petroleum Reserve, they jockeyed for almost 3.5 months about who was going to get to the floor first. And whether anybody was going to get to the floor, depending on how the votes might come out on the jurisdictional issue. That got resolved finally about a month ago. We got fairly quick action on the Senate. We now have jurisdictional differences between the House and the Senate on the NPRs, and we do foresee the possibility of nothing but a straight jurisdictional obstacle on the Naval Petroleum Reserve that could last until next year, depending on how the conference committee goes. Clean Air Act. We made very little progress there. In fact, just before they went home, the Senate committee marking up the Clean Air Act on auto emission standards, adopted a set of standards on a timely basis that would have a fuel penalty in 1985 of half a million barrels of oil a day. In our current oil situation, that means that those standards would allow them to become law. We would have to find another half a million barrels of oil, or oil equivalent somewhere in this country by 1985, not to be a half a million barrels a day based off on our import situation. Now, this has been one of our most troublesome areas. We really do believe that we put forward a set of changes for the Clean Air Act, which the scientific community and the medical community agree, even though they are relaxations of certain components, both the stationary sources and the mobile sources, are relaxations that basically do away with overkill that now seems fairly apparent after 5 or 6 years of research. Not in any way worsen the health impacts of air pollution over and above the current standards. And then basically, we're taking out the overkill. In spite of that, we think there's a tremendous amount of data behind it, there's a tremendous amount of medical and scientific opinion behind it. We have not been able to get any action out of these measures in Congress to deal with the Clean Air Act other than to make the decision where we are. I think it's often overlooked that the Clean Air Act committees of the House can do away in one fell swoop with any imports, even if saving a different Ways and Means Committee might create through a very controversial kind of tax, and you don't care much about it. They also are concerned that there's a lot of public opinion, for example, about a penny or 2 cents a gallon increase in gasoline. But we hear nothing about an action by the committee. The Clean Air Act committee that would add $300 to $400 to the price of a new car, and what else would this go to that rate? Something that would be home on a tenant basis. You don't hear any complaint about that. Or do you hear any problem about paying the additional 3 to 4 cents a gallon fuel penalty on that change? We've also, I think, had increasingly concerned about other resource development activities that we had planned to let go on pretty much in their current formulation, particularly on the ACS, nuclear power, and coal. Again, the basic goal of the program is to not make any new proposals there, but just to try to really maximize the existing resource utilization of existing legislation. Adequate. Make some agencies and operations more efficient speed things up, but we didn't see any reason in the legislation. What we're seeing now, I think, is not legislation to speed things up, and the possible legislation to slow things down. And this may, when all the dust is settled, be much more important in terms of our energy independence situation than it can be by all of the debate that occurred today on the price issue. Even FDA believed that to be the case. OCS, some of you may have seen a complete decline. I think this sort of captures the problem very well, but we're picking up increasing numbers on the hill. If you speak to some of the coastal state governors that do not want the OCS drilled for some period of years, and they justify further delays on the grounds that we have lots of nuclear capability, we have all kinds of coal, and we have lots of gas, and so there's getting deregulation of gas. Then you go before a congressional committee dealing with coal, and they say, listen, we've got all kinds of problems with coal. We really need to put everything in advance in coal mining in this country and sort all this stuff out. But we have plenty of time because you've got the OCS. You can be out there drilling. You've got nuclear coming along quite well. You really just don't need this resource right now. We have time and this money to work with you and sort these problems out. Then you meet with a group of environmentalists, and their basic stance is, and this is going to the environmentalists, today with the environmental committee. Listen, there are all kinds of problems with nuclear. We think we really need a nuclear moratorium to sort out some of these problems. But it's really not a problem because you've got the OCS and you've got coal. And, you know, this is, it really does get to be a rat race. And believe me, you call a Frank's arm around for 2 weeks and this is exactly what you hear. You know, you've got a severe case of tunnel vision up there. Nobody is looking at it.